Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. I believe with all my heart, you are not here today by coincidence. There are messages and there are the messages that God will put in your heart. There's only one way to please God, and it's to be obedient. Amen? Hallelujah. So we give God glory and we thank Him for what He's doing. Before we go into some scriptures for today, I just want to use one word to describe our expectation, this message today. Because I know it's been recorded, and it's important it's recorded. One word is our year of Jubilee. Amen? Our year of Jubilee. I'm going to read just to give you an idea of the year of Jubilee in the life of the children of Israel. And then we really want to look at what that looks like, but how does that manifest? Amen? And why have we spent 14 days in prayer? So the word this morning is to give us understanding why we prayed and why this very moment is, tomorrow is the end of the prayer, and why our expectations are expected from the Lord. Amen? So I just want to read to you quickly one word that will describe a lot of our expectations as believers. Leviticus chapter 25, I'll read really quick. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be 49. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty. Liberty. Proclaim freedom. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall neither sow neither reap that which is grown of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undress. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. Means death cancellation. Amen. Now, when God speaks to the children of Israel, there is always God speaking to them based on dealing with Israel as a nation, but many times also is dealing prophetically with the church and spiritual. It has a spiritual parallel. Amen. So now, why did the Lord call us to 14 days of prayer? Why now? Last two weeks, that was the first Sunday of the month, we shared this call to prayer on the 7th, and we entered into it on the 9th. And there was a solar eclipse on the 8th. So we went to, if you're not here, please listen to the message, because I want to use the time we have this morning to transition to why this year of Jubilee. So, but a reminder. We shared some patterns of butt pains, We gave illustration, remember Bumati and our brother here. We gave illustrations of how no pregnant woman will ever come to the place of birth without going through labor pains. Very, very natural illustrations. So I want us to look at that scripture again, because that's the focus. They'll put it on the screen very soon. That's the scripture to describe why God called us to prayer. We call it the birthing. Amen? The birthing. Isaiah 66 from 7 to 9. They'll put it on the screen very soon. So that scripture says, have you ever seen a woman, let me read it to you, 66, 7 to 9. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has heard such things? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? For as soon as Zion, I like when Pastor Van Victor prayed today, says, as soon as man Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? These are metaphor. But Jesus used it, God used it as a clear physical, natural expression that gives us spiritual understanding. Amen? So, we looked at that last 2 weeks. And if you go to the book of John, you can write that down. John chapter 16, when Jesus was speaking about his going to the cross and preparing the people and they were sad, he said to them in John 16, he says, you are sorrowful now, I understand. He says, it's this season, this moment is like a woman that has come to the point of her delivery. As she is in pain, so you are. But he says, a son shall be born and there will be great joy. And the joy no man can take away. That word joy, I just described the kind of joy in the book of Leviticus 25. It's a jubilation. It's the joy, that's why they call children bundle of joy. Amen? Please understand this illustration, because over the years, I always ask myself, what will it take for us to understand the simple illustration, especially when God has been warning, and then prayer goes, and God is preparing people, and he's warning, and it looks like nothing is happening, and people can't get the message that God is long-suffering. But when the time comes, that child must be delivered. Amen? So Jesus, God used the illustration of the woman in labor. Amen? In John 16 and here in Isaiah. Amen. So, really quickly, before any woman can be in labor, she first has to be pregnant, isn't it? She has to be pregnant. We went through that last week. I'm just repeating it, putting emphasis on it. Now, when the woman is carrying a child, the woman knows that at that 40 weeks or the 9th month or so, she's expected to deliver, isn't it? Expectations. So the delivery is that the woman is carrying something she has not visibly seen, and she's about to enter a moment where what she has not seen, but she knows has been there, will now be transitioned to where she can see it. Amen? So between not seeing and seeing is travail. Amen? They call it transition. Amen? So that's why God uses these natural things. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's hard to understand. So again, I want to use a natural principle to again remind us, to take us to really being very clear this morning about our expectations. Amen? Hallelujah. So the first one is, the children of Israel You remember we made illustration, but it's important. The children of Israel have been in Egypt for now 400 years. Amen? And God said that before time. So they've been in Egypt for 400 years. And if you remember the illustration, Egypt was pregnant with their destiny. Amen? So they are in Egypt, but they could not manifest their destiny. They could not fulfill their purpose. They could not express their identity. They could not enter their inheritance. They could not really be. The world couldn't see who God calls them to be. Why? Because they were in the womb of Egypt. What was the womb of Egypt? It was a place of preparation. But what does that look like? The Bible calls it the house of bondage. The house of bondage. Why? When they were in Egypt, they were under tax masters. They had to work hard. They had to do so many things to build the pyramids and so many things they were taxed to do that they had no more focus of who they are. All they were doing was labor, eat, go back, labor, then eat, go back, and their life was restrained. So their identity has been shifted. And the mindset and the word for the identity was they were slaves. Before then, they ruled through Joseph in Egypt. They were rulers. But now, the world has subjected them to a position. After so many years, their mindset has been molded by reason of the lifestyle they were under. So, they were not free. They had no money. They didn't have their own house. Everything they had, they were under tax masters. They were building. Everything they were doing is to promote the glory of Egypt and to build the pyramids of Pharaoh. And that lifestyle stole their identity away. They didn't really know who they are, why they are here, what's going on. But it was for a season. Because God told Abraham it would be for a season. So that's why the illustration you see that Isaiah made was not only to the days of Isaiah, it goes back and it goes forward. So, like a pregnant woman carrying a child, that child, even though that child is bound, is hidden, the child is growing. Something is happening and the child is being prepared. And when the appointed time comes, the child must be delivered. Amen? So that means the child will be free. The child will not have a name. The child will not have a future. The child, Jeremiah says, the child is now set apart to fulfill the purpose for which he is born. And the destiny of the child is set forth for the purpose for which God sent the child into the world. So look at Israel in that position in Egypt. So what happens now? When the time came for their deliverance, for their freedom, for their liberty, it was for them to be released to serve destiny. Amen? When the time came, Egypt had to go through contractions and labor pains. Amen? Okay. Now, something happens when the transition takes place. When the transition took place, it took place at the 10th plague. At the time of the 10th plague, in Exodus 12, God called Moses. He says, tell the children of Israel, the time has come for their liberty. The time has come for their jubilee. The time has come for their freedom. The time has come for them to enter their destiny. And now, I am going to do something that will cause Egypt to push them out like a woman. Push them out. Pharaoh will not be able to hold them back anymore. Amen? So I hope this makes sense, the illustration of the woman. And so now, what happens at this transitional point? There are a few expectations that the Bible describes with the physical Israel. And I'm sharing this physically because that's the best way I learn. God will use the Old Testament, will use the physical realms of things to give clarity to spiritual expectations also in the Bible. So you know how to pray, you know how to expect, and you know how to wait through it. So, a few expectations that happened in Egypt was when Moses told them that, God told Moses, said, tell them they will not come out of Egypt with empty hands. That's one. So, the first thing is God told them they are going to experience jubilee, means freedom from that. They're going to experience a transfer of wealth. Amen? The Bible literally said they plundered Egypt. But God did it in his own special way. They went to the Egyptians out of fear because they thought God would just kill them if they waste time. When the Egyptians, the children of Israel, they just borrowed everything. The Bible said they plundered Egypt. It's called transfer of wealth. They gave them everything they need. Then something also happened. They were distinguished from the Egyptians and from the children of Israel. How was it distinguished? God told Moses that they should kill lambs or goats and take the blood and put it on their doorposts. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will skip. Anytime I will just skip to, if there's this house here, I only skip the houses where the blood is. Amen? So there was a mark of distinction in that season. All through the New Testament, Revelations, Ezekiel, you hear God talks about put a mark to distinguish this from this. Malachi, distinguish this from this. I will separate, you know. So in the expectation was a mark of distinction. Wherever the blood is, the people received the blessings. Wherever the blood was not, the people received justice. Amen? Now, with that distinction, something happens. In that moment of transition, the children of Egypt, the Egyptians, or what you call the strongholds, were being humbled. They experienced things to humble them. But the children of Israel has been humbled after many years. They experience things to lift them up. Not one plague came to their doorpost. And not only that, instead of plague, they received healing. Expectations in this season. You know, they have been there 400 years. So they've lived through generations of bondages and limitations and chronic mindsets of lack and everything and whatever. The Bible says there was not one that left Egypt weak. So something happened when the Egyptians, something was happening to the Egyptians and they were being humbled. God moved in wherever the blood is and the people were strengthened. They were empowered. The Bible says there was not one sick. It was a blanket of healing. Amen? Because they have gone through a lot. You see, there was a man that was born blind. Jesus says, these 40 years, it was for the glory of God. Amen? The children of Israel, they've gone through a lot. And the time came for God to bring joy to their life, jubilee. Amen? And jubilee means freedom from poverty, freedom from affliction, freedom from bondage, freedom from sickness, freedom from all kinds of limitation. Amen? And they were again being lifted up. Another thing to expect is God did not just bring them out of Egypt blessing them, strengthening them. The Bible says, as soon as they stepped out, God covered them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. They came under the canopy, the umbrella of the presence of the Lord. There was a restoration, a distinguishing factor why they are God's children. Moses says, how do we know the difference between us and the world? Is it not that your presence go with us? They were marked by the presence of the Lord, as a cloud by day visibly and a fire by night visibly. Amen? It was a season, in a way, of harvest. Harvest. It was a kind of a harvest when people that have been in bondage come out of darkness to light, out of bondage to freedom. Amen? It's like salvation coming out of the world into the body of Christ. It was a harvest season, and they harvested all that they lost. Amen? So, that is the practical, just put together what it means by the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee is the dispensations or the seasons where the life of the children of Israel were marked by corporate deliverance, corporate blessing, corporate breakthrough, just like when they came out of Babylon back into Israel to serve the purpose of God. Amen? It was not just this man being blessed, that man being blessed, all their debts. It was a year where everybody receives their debt canceled. Everybody received a blanket amnesty, freedom. It was a blanket, not just peculiar to one person or the other. That's the year of Jubilee. Amen. Now, another expectation of the year of Jubilee is free to fulfill your destiny. People in Egypt, because of the lifestyle and the mindset that the taskmasters have put them, they have not had time to even find out who they are. More or less thinking about, what is God's plan for my future? Why am I here? The purpose of the freedom, God says, to set them free to serve the Lord and to inherit their possessions, the promises. When the year of Jubilee comes, God restores all things. It's the time of restoration. Why restoration? Because something has been lost that we are supposed to be, we are supposed to walk in, and now we are in the valley. So when that thing is restored, we are back in the mountain, and that was holding us is broken back in the valley. It brings down the mountains and exhausts the valley. So those are some principles for us to remember as in this season of expectation. Now, how does that relate to us since we have this background illustration? Let me say it over and over, and it's very important that it's repeated when necessary, because God shows things to everybody, but you're compelled out of obedience to obey God in seasons, to share what God has revealed. So last 2 weeks, I shared what God did to pull me out of the world to step into the ministry and the purpose. So two things, maybe I didn't mention them, but for the purpose of what I want to share, let me mention two things that came to me and became a thread line from the moment God opened my eyes into the call to prayer and to his work. Two things was, one, about America. That's why it says, stay here. The other is about the church. About America, God revealed, like I share with you, how America is pregnant with the destiny of the church in the last days. And that America was going to manifest the glory of God that will touch the whole world again. And this time, when God begins this glory, nothing is going to stop it. So two things, America and the church. America is pregnant with the destiny of the church, and the church will enter into its destiny in these last days to see the glory of God. So those are the two things. But how does those things come about? From what I explained to you, through many years, God started explaining that America will be like a woman in birth pain when the time comes. Amen? And what will be the expectation will be the church will be free from the entanglements and the bondage of this, the culture of the world that has taken the church captive. The church of today does not know anything about holiness. Not everybody. We don't know what righteousness is. We don't even understand our identity as separate from who we are as physical people. Now, when I say the church, it's not everyone, because you look through the Bible, there's always a remnant. So somehow the spirit of this age, the spirit of the world, has so entered into the church and has had the church restrained, captive, neutralized, like I share with Samson. So the spirit of this nation, the culture of the nation and the systems of the world is enveloped the church. So the church that we live today have not really tasted a blanket freedom, have not really tasted what miracles look like. We've not really tasted what it means to really experience the glory of God, to experience the move of God, to experience miracles, to experience, these are just things God has given to us as just benefits, to be drawn into a deeper realms of walking with God, and to reflect the heart and the glory of God in the nation. And because of that level of bondage, the church has not the voice that causes the nations to tremble. Amen? So the nations make laws, the nations do all kinds of things, and the church is under that restriction. Amen? But God says in the last days that the glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former. That means the glory of the church in these last days we far exceed whatever we know in the book of Acts. Amen? So, I brought this book for a reason. Because this morning is not meant to describe a lot of things. 2005, the Lord led me through a very close friend of mine, the former vice president of Coca-Cola. He made among some business people to write this book, because I was sharing with them about these things about America. They say you have to. So they wrote this book. They helped and they paid for it. It's called The Watchman. If you read some aspect of this, you would think it was written today. But the reason I brought it is it will explain a little bit more in detail about America's destiny and what God will do. But what I wrote, what the Lord wrote and led us to write in this book, is now about to enter a higher level of his manifestation. Amen? Okay, so I won't go into details. Now, let me explain some things to us, based on last 2 weeks and based on what I've said so far. Last 2 weeks, I shared with you about a dream I had in 2013. Amen? How many of you remember that? Okay. All right. I share with you about how 2013, I went away to pray and I was crying to God. When is this? When are you going to do all this? And I don't get anything. So I was crying and this dream came and it was a vision and God spoke. And I described to you how the five things that I didn't explain all of them to you that happened in that vision, that dream. I think I said to you, this year, every one of those things, at least four of them have happened. The fourth major one is the solar eclipse. I did not know then it was a solar eclipse, but that line that NASA drew, that, you know, the shadow of the moon walking, I saw that. But when I saw it, it's not the way the world sees it today. That picture, of course, was there, and I was walking past it, just going with it. But what was revealed, God interpreted it to be, was what actually was going to happen. Amen? And I did not know then that when I see those signs, that would be a warning that, like a pregnant woman, we're going into a birth pain that will release some of these expectations I talked about. Until this spring, when I saw that solar eclipse and every other thing that lined up with that vision, I knew this was the season that God would begin to fulfill some things. And not only that, when I see the pattern of what happened in 2020 with COVID, 2022 with Ukraine, 2023 with Israel, the world is gradually convulsing. There is a trembling going on, but the interpretation is not understood. So, when I saw all these things happen, so this morning I want to tell you exactly what that interpretation, what I saw. What I saw, and by the way, you can go back to a few things we've talked in the past that God revealed and I came and I share with you, even one of them with President Trump and stuff, is on YouTube. So when that thing, that mark you saw was being marked through America, which today everybody know it to be the pathway of the totality of the eclipse, what was really happening was there was an invisible hand. I did not see the hand. It was invisible. But that hand was marking the nation. Marking the nation. Marking the nation. And when I was trying to see what the mark was, God says, I am going to shake the nation with an earthquake. It was loud. It was clear. So that year, 2020, I think I was so afraid. I was trembling. I think I probably mentioned to our church, let's pray. You know, God will, there's an earthquake coming or something, because of the way it is. And none of those signs were there. But this year, everything in that dream has all happened. Why am I sharing this with you? I am not telling you about something that will happen. On this April 8th, the solar eclipse was the sign. It was not a sign just for me and you. The whole world saw it. But it marked the nation of America. You saw it, everybody saw it, but nobody can interpret it. If I remember, I mentioned to you last 2 weeks, or if I didn't, I can repeat it. The birth, the physical birth of Jesus into this world, go and read it in Luke, was marked by a sign, a star in the sky. And the unbelievers, the wise men, they followed that sign and they came to exactly where Jesus was born. The physical departure of Christ on the cross was marked by a sign. The whole place in the, from noon to 3 o'clock was turned to darkness. It was like a solar eclipse. So God uses this kind of things to awaken the world, but the world can't interpret it. But God wants the church to understand it. Personally, there is no way I would have understood. I would have been like everybody else. The solar eclipse come, we had fun and gone. The only reason is because 2013, God showed what just happened this month that just passed. Showed it 2013. I didn't know what it was going to be, but he showed it and gave the interpretation 11 years ago, 2013. So when I see it now, it's not something that will happen. The Lord says, this is that I showed to you 2013. It's not will. Here is the good news. God uses signs to help us when we are weary of waiting, like a pregnant woman. This earthquake, what the Lord even showed me years ago, whenever you see an earthquake in America as a sign of birth pain or sign of awakening, whenever you see it, you know these expectations I share with you. I'm about to restore my glory in the church. I'm about to set the church free. I'm about to reveal my glory. I'm about to harvest, to really restore power to a weakened church, a compromised church. I'm about to distinguish, I'm about to separate believers from unbelievers in the church. Amen? I'm about to grant favor, it's called favor to the church, and vengeance to, I'm talking about spiritually now, to the things that are holding the destiny of the church. I'm about to reveal myself in a way where men will fear me again, people will honor me again, and they will know that I am God. I'm not a president or a prime minister. I created all things. This world belongs to me, not man. And my counsel stands. So he wants to reveal himself in such a way that from the presidents to whatever level, they understand that he's God. Amen? And again, like a woman giving birth, it's about to restore the joy of the church. People are so burdened with problems, sicknesses. All kinds, financial debts, financial struggle, all kinds of things. Amen? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So God wants to restore. That's why I call it the year of what? Jubilee. The year of freedom. The year of liberty. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to set the captives free, to open the prison doors. My brothers and sisters, the way we are right now and the self-centeredness we are, we can't help people that are bound. We can't even see people be free from demonic oppression. People free from chronic things they've lived with for years that doctors can't fix. We can't even see the kind of miracles that we read from the book of Acts. Miracles are our signboards as believers. So my brothers and sisters, it's a joy to know that God is about to restore that. Amen? Now, another understanding we need to have about birth pains, because Jesus mentioned it. He said there will be wars and rumors of war. There will be earthquakes. And he said these are the beginning of birth pains. He's saying don't focus on these problems. Amen? All the women in this house that gave birth to us, they experienced their birth pain, but their focus was not the pain. Their focus was the child. Amen? So we are worried about the whether earthquake or whether about famine or Israel war. The stock market go boop, boop, boop like that when every small thing, because they are the world. But God wants us in this season to focus on the joy that is set before him. The joy, that bundle of joy, the salvation of the lost, the deliverance of the bound, the opening of the prison, the restoration of power again, the restoration of healing, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. That's what God is about to restore. Complete flow of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Complete manifestation of the 5-fold anointing in the church. Pastors with God's heart, evangelists, they say one word, people are lying on the floor under conviction. God wants to restore not just the 5-fold, but the government of the church. He wants to restore the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and he wants to manifest the fullness of the Spirit, which is the 7 spirits of the Lord in these last days. That's why the glory is greater than that of the former. Now, the Lord says, when the year, anytime you see this earthquake happen, look, expect a move of God is close. Amen. So that's why we've been waiting and stay and praying. So the reason we called for these 7 days of prayer, these 14 days of prayer, is anytime God gives a promise, like to Elijah, I will send rain, you know, or like to the disciples, go and wait at the upper room, is for them to agree with God and to release God's plan and purpose as it is in heaven into the earthly realm. It's like a pregnant woman. God gives you, you carry a seed. It's like you receive a vision and you carry it until the time of delivery and you push it through. So that's why God gave us this revelation. We call it 14 days of prayer, which will end tomorrow. So our part is being to partner with God, to cry out for God to move, to cry out for these expectations for God to move. But also, because America will enter a birth pain, the focus of the worldly people will be more the birth pain, but they don't have the spiritual eyes to see why the pain. But God is showing us spiritually, don't focus on the pain. Pray for the glory of God. Pray for the harvest of the nation. Pray for the lost to be saved. Pray for families to be healed. Pray for marriage to receive its sanctity again. Pray, you know, pray for these things. Pray for my glory. Pray. These are the things God wants to manifest. That's why we're praying. If you don't want to go through butt pains, I just want to apologize. There is no spiritual circumcision. In the world today, thank God, when a woman gets to the point, thank God for technology and mercy, you can't give birth, isn't it? The doctors, thank God for doctors. Amen? They will do, what, the cesarean? C-section. They help you deliver your bundle of joy. And they wrap you back and you're normal again. Amen? But because of who God is, he doesn't bypass process. Amen? Egypt must go through birth pains for Israel to come out. Babylon must go through birth pain. The church must go through a shaking. Amen? Because the church is sleeping. It says he wake up the virgins. Why? For us to know why we're here. Identity. And for us to receive the glory that God has for us. So my brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that we have prayed and we'll finish tomorrow. And the God we serve, it's a God that does not disappoint. He will come true for us. He will cause us in this season like he's done last year when we saw 10,000 people come to the Lord in 3 days. Like he did last year, open doors. He is going to open a greater door this year. And we're going to see a greater harvest this year. We're going to see the favor of God greater this year. We will experience miracles more than last year. There will be a shift that will know that our prayers have released a new season. Amen? And we'll keep praying and believing. But this is one thing I want to tell you. Anytime from now going forward the rest of this year, anytime we see an earthquake, I want you to know that you should not fear. You should expect at this moment that what we're praying for is about to manifest. That's why I share this with you. Now, I want to read the scripture the Lord gave to me to let you know that these things, they manifest the glory of God. Amen? Let's all open to Psalms 46. And that's the last scripture. And I will describe some things. Psalms 46. Psalm 46, this is what, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not what? Fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. He's talking about like earthquake and, you know, shaking. Though the mountains shake, brother, well, I came here this morning and read the scripture, Isaiah 64. That's a parallel scripture to this. And the Lord gave this to share with you yesterday. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is what? A river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of his tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be what? Moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariots in fire. And then God says, in the midst of all this, if you're in that river that just came out, when if you are expecting, like a pregnant woman that just came out of that that horrible pain, it says, be what? Still. That word still is peace. Peace beyond understanding. Why you're not ignorant of what is happening? You know the glory of God is in it. And it's for the deliverance, the salvation of a nation. Be still and know that I am God. I will be what? Exalted. Among what? The nations. I will be what? Exalted in the earth. Now when God is now saying that, I will be exalted, that means somehow every other thing has taken God's position. Every other thing has been exalted. Amen? Politicians, kings, everybody has taken one part of the earth. We own America, we own England, we own Russia, we own this, we own that, we own the people, we make the laws, and we determine the boundaries of what goes. But God says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. How will God be exalted? It's only when the nations are humbled. And the only person that knows how to humble nations is God. And he knows how to do it. So he's saying, if he chooses to use, he says, I will shake everything that can be shaken, so that those things we cannot be shaken will be established. So a shaking is coming. Amen? A butt pain is coming. But don't focus on it. Focus on the glory. Focus on the harvest. Focus on the blessings. Focus on, oh God, we've been in Egypt too long. Our children have not seen your glory. We have been focused. Oh, now we are going to experience you. Now we're going to see your face and your glory. Now. Amen? How many of you know that's good news? Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to finish prayer tomorrow. And after tomorrow, from now to tomorrow, we've done our part. We'll continue what we do, but any pregnant woman without expectation is not pregnant. Amen? You know what I'm saying. A pregnant woman that does not have expectation is not pregnant. For you to be pregnant means you have expectation. And because we have expectation, we are expecting God to move. Things to escalate, things to upgrade. So as a result of that expectation and preparation, there's something I didn't mention to you God did when the year of Jubilee, when they were coming out of Egypt. He told Moses, he tell the people, he says, you've lived in Egypt now for so long, and Pharaoh looks like he won't let you out. But I want to tell you this night, tell all of them to pack their load. Prepare themselves. Because it's going to happen quick, and they're going to leave Egypt in a hurry. Amen? Means the word is, whenever the year of Jubilee comes, there's an acceleration of events. So you have to prepare. Amen? So, I don't know all and how God is going to move, but I know last year he opened doors. Last year we gave you testimony. 10,000 people came to God in 3 days in Burundi. God opened doors to different places. Amen? So this is just the beginning. I know this year will be greater. To surprise you, because I know this has been recorded, I have not told you a whole lot. I just told you what you can receive. But as I'm talking to you, I've spoken to very influential government people about what I'm telling you. People who can make a difference if there's an earthquake that happens anytime this year or soon. We've sent message to the governor. We've made effort to get to the president. So what I'm telling you is just what you can take. People that can take a bigger picture, I've told them. So we're not talking about Mount Zion here. We're talking about the nation. And of course, some of you don't know, but we coordinate a lot of network of African leaders here in America. So that's how much this has gone. So it's not something we are just playing, you know, just being casual with. I just feel this is the extent you can receive. Amen? So, as a result of us preparing and just expecting, like God Moses told the children of Israel, next Sunday, we are taking a step of faith. And we will not be having service in this floor anymore. We're upgrading to the next floor. We are moving. How many people want to go to the next level after prayer? When you pray, you're believing God for something. If you remain at the same level, you'll be wondering, did God answer my prayer? Amen? So we are moving to the next level. Amen? And by the grace of God, spiritually, every one of us is moving to a new level. Amen. But in the physical, we need to take a step of faith. Why am I saying step of faith? There's a lot that needs to be, if just not much, but a few things is already been activated. And a few people are waiting now to step into action. So when you come next Sunday, if you come to the basement, you're still seeking the lower level. Amen. You want to remain the same. Amen. Prophesy to yourselves, I'm going to the next level. Amen. So physically, by next Sunday, manage whatever you see, but we're going to have service upstairs. So when you come, park around that place. Don't park in the valley. Just park around and come from the front gates. Amen. Hallelujah. We're doing it by faith. We're stepping by faith so that we are prepared. We are positioning ourselves. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that those pictures you see there, the building construction will not come. That's still in the making. Some things are being worked on those big, big pillars. As soon as they finish fixing those pillars, they will start the construction. Amen? But we want to start warming up the place before they start. Amen? 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 Amen. I when God accelerates the cloud, we follow the cloud. So this is a faith thing we're doing because we are positioned by faith under his glory and we are taking the next step, believing God for souls, believing God for breakthrough. Amen. So again, to announce to you and share, there's a shaking coming and God is positioning us. And through this prayer we prayed, we're believing God for results through this year. Amen. But to begin, we're just going to move by faith to the first floor. So next Sunday, don't come to the basement. And our daily prayer, we'll make the announcements and we'll send it out. And we'll work all that details out this week. We are just being accelerated. Amen? Amen. So now let's stand up and just pray. This is a message from the Lord for you this morning. I want us to, between you and the Lord, I don't know what you heard, but I want you to ask, I want you to just pray that whatever God is birthing these 14 days, whatever heaven has prepared for you personally, for your family, Will you agree with God for you to be in a position to start receiving? For you to start connecting, for you to be positioned to inherit whatever heaven is going to release into our physical life, into the place of manifestation. Will you pray that? Will you just covenant with God on that? Will you seek the face of the Lord? I don't know what you're believing God for. I believe we are entering a new season of miracles. Great favor, great open doors. God is raising leaders in this house with mantles. Please pray. This is your opportunity now. Whatever the Lord has shared with you this morning, whenever there is fear, exchange it for faith. Lord hears your prayer. You know what your needs are. You know the needs of your family. Enter into that expectation of prayer. Give it to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is coming to respond to this, to respond to your cry. Yes, give him that list. For you, you don't have any other mediator but Christ. The veil has been rent, and you have an open door through the mercy of God to the Holy of Holies. Talk with the Lord. You have access. There is a breakthrough in the spirit for this new season, so tap into it. That you will never bring a pregnant to the time of birth and let the womb be shut. Father, that which heaven has been pregnant with for this hour, for this moment. We are so thirsty. We are so hungry. We are so desperate. Father, in your mercy, we believe you. That you who have brought us to this time of birthing, you will cause us to bring forth. You will cause your will to be released in the earth as it is in heaven. You will give us souls. You will refresh us with a fresh outpouring of your rain. Father, you restore the glory of your presence by the manifestations of your signs and wonders again. Father, we thank you that you again, because of the power of your anointing, you will heal the brokenhearted. You will set the captives free again. You will open the prison doors. You will heal the broken heart. You will cause the blind to see, and you will cause the lame to walk again, because it is our jubilee. We thank you. You are still the same yesterday, who did these wonders and miracles to those who believe you. Father, you are still the same today. For me, there is nothing impossible. Same yesterday, today, and you are the same forever. And this morning we give you glory, because you make all things beautiful in your appointed time. Receive all the glory. Prepare us, O God, as we transition to this place you have blessed us with, to our upper room. Father, make room for us. Provide, establish, and cause us to bear your blessings and inherit all that you have moving forward into this year. And to you alone be the glory. Thank you for your sons and daughters who have been laboring